Welcome to the Weekly Digest from Personalized Intelligence. It is Tuesday, July 21st, 2026, and this is our cybersecurity edition.
Today's briefing centers on the accelerating erosion of the traditional perimeter, as rapid-fire vulnerability surges outpace our capacity for coordinated response. We are moving from a period of manageable patching cycles into an era of permanent, unmitigated exposure.
It is no longer about fixing bugs, it is about surviving the patch.
Precisely.
We begin with the escalating chaos surrounding Patch Tuesday and the recent surge in critical vulnerabilities. 622. That is the number of individual security fixes Microsoft dropped this past Tuesday, marking the second month in a row we've seen record-breaking numbers. We are talking about Patch Tuesday and the vulnerability surge.
It's a massive operational bottleneck. This July update included 570 security fixes, including 59 critical bugs and 3 zero-day vulnerabilities, which represents nearly triple the volume we saw just last month.
Security fixes. That's a lovely way of saying the door was unlocked and we finally found the key. But even with the keys in hand, the sheer volume of this release is enough to give any sysadmin a migraine.
And the difficulty isn't just the volume, it's the visibility. As Alexander Martin noted, Microsoft has transitioned from providing itemized CVE lists to using summary tables in its security update guide. This shift towards summary-based advisories creates a strategic information gap, forcing defenders to manually reconstruct the actual threat landscape from fragmented, disparate feeds.
So instead of a clear shopping list of what needs fixing, we get a vague grocery receipt that says various perishables. That sounds like a nightmare for triage.
It is.
You're essentially forced to hunt for the details. And the reason there are so many perishables to begin with is because the discovery process itself has fundamentally changed. Tom Gallagher attributes this surge in identified flaws to Microsoft's deployment of the MDASH AI system for proactive hunting.
So Microsoft is using AI to find its own bugs before the bad guys do. It's like a digital immune system.
Two things stand out, but it's a double-edged sword. Security now explains that the MDASH architecture actually utilizes a multi-model debate mechanism across different AI model families to validate vulnerability candidates, paired with a Windows-specific proof pipeline to eliminate false positives before they ever reach engineers. This means the sheer density of identified flaws is skyrocketing because the automated identification is so much more efficient than human auditing.
But if the discovery is getting faster, does that mean we're actually seeing more active attacks? Or are we just getting better at spotting the cracks in the foundation?
That's where the data gets interesting. There is a significant decoupling emerging here. The record from Recorded Future News points out that while the volume of published CVEs has gone vertical, the rate of vulnerabilities appearing in CISA's KEV catalog remains extremely low, at just 0.24% of total 2026 CVEs. Jerry Gamblin, a Cisco engineer, observed that while the volume of discovered vulnerabilities has increased, the rate of confirmed exploitation hasn't yet matched this rapid pace.
So we're in a period of high anxiety but arguably low immediate carnage. We are seeing the smoke, but the fires haven't all ignited yet.
True, but the arms race is much more real than the exploitation stats suggest. CyberWire Daily argues that this 300% increase in vulnerabilities compared to June signals that AI is fundamentally accelerating the discovery to exploit pipeline. We are seeing a persistent cycle where vendor patching speeds are being matched by attacker exploit development. We saw this recently with the 9.6 CVSS rated Copilot remote code execution bug, CVE 2026-48561. When the window between identification and a functional exploit shrinks toward a near instantaneous timeline, the lag in the system becomes a critical vulnerability in itself.
Which leads us to the inevitable problem of the backlog. You can't just patch everything the second it drops without breaking the entire enterprise.
And that's the real structural shift. Enterprise Security Weekly suggests that cybersecurity economics are currently imbalanced. AI is accelerating the discovery of vulnerabilities, but it isn't yet being leveraged to reduce the capital cost of remediation. This leaves security teams overwhelmed by a massive, growing backlog of patches that requires entirely new prioritization frameworks, like what they're calling exposure ops.
It's the classic technical debt trap. We're accumulating interest on unpatched bugs faster than we can pay down the principal.
And the cost of that debt is rising. We are seeing a broader industry trend where vendors like Adobe, Google, Cisco, and Oracle are all increasing their patch frequency to keep up with these faster exploitation cycles. Adobe, for instance, is already moving to a bi-monthly security bulletin cadence. This increased frequency creates a secondary stability risk. The sheer scale of these updates significantly raises the probability of patches introducing new system-wide regressions.
So we fix a hole in the roof, and suddenly the plumbing in the basement starts leaking.
It's a cascading failure model. We see this in different contexts too. For example, Hacked reported that cascading credential reuse can create a critical failure point where a simple web-level configuration error, like an exposed Magento image file, can escalate into a full Linux server compromise by exposing database credentials that share a root superuser identity. The complexity of the modern environment means one small error in a patch or a config can bridge much larger gaps than we anticipate.
It's getting harder to maintain a perimeter when the perimeter is essentially a moving target of automated discovery and rapid-fire updates.
It's even more insidious when the malware itself is designed to hide in the noise. Cybersecurity Headlines reported on the Holograph malware, which uses a time dilation technique. It hides command and control traffic within Microsoft 365 calendar events scheduled decades into the future, effectively camouflaging malicious activity as legitimate, dormant Microsoft Graph API traffic. It's designed specifically to bypass the very monitoring tools we use to catch the spikes we've been talking about.
So while we're all staring at the 622 new CVEs on our dashboards, the real threat is sitting quietly in a calendar invite for the year 2055.
The pattern is clear. The sheer volume of the July 2026 update is a symptom of a much deeper transformation in how software is both built and broken.
System administrators need to pivot their budgets toward automated validation rather than just manual deployment. Watch for the first major enterprise outage caused by a regression patch. That will be the moment the industry realizes the volume has finally broken the process. But if the tools we use to find bugs are getting smarter, I wonder if the software they are hunting will start developing its own way of lying to us. We've spent a lot of time talking about how much faster AI is making everything from coding to drug discovery, but there's a darker side to that velocity. It feels like we're caught in a pincer movement between autonomous attackers and autonomous defenders. So, Alex, if you had to bet, which side is winning the AI arms race?
It's hard to place a bet when the very definition of a threat is shifting from human intent to machine speed execution. We're moving away from traditional exploits toward what you might call agentic warfare, where the primary risk isn't just a hacker typing commands, but an autonomous agent executing multi-step strategies that bypass safety sandboxes by, for example, fragmenting authentication tokens to evade scanners.
It's not just a person breaking in, it's a digital entity essentially hallucinating its way through the security perimeter.
The data tells a story. Take the recent breach at Hugging Face. An autonomous agent exploited a code execution vulnerability within their data processing pipeline by using a malicious dataset to harvest cloud and cluster credentials. It's a pivot from simple theft to leveraging the inherent logic of AI pipelines to trigger lateral movement.
Which sounds terrifyingly efficient. But I assume there's some hope that we can just build a better digital watchdog.
The problem is that the watchdog is currently being outmaneuvered by new classes of prompt injection. Cybersecurity Headlines reported on context bombing, where attackers trigger a model's safety guardrails using forbidden topics, like bomb-making instructions, to effectively launch a denial-of-service attack by forcing a prompt failure. It's a low-barrier, text-only way to poison a system without even needing complex scripts.
The security system basically commits suicide because it's too polite to read something offensive.
In a sense, yes. But defenders are trying to fight fire with fire. We're seeing the rise of context bombing as a defensive tactic, where security teams intentionally plant adversarial prompts in cloud buckets to trigger agent shutdowns, which reportedly reduced unauthorized admin access from 57% to 5% in certain tests.
That sounds like a very expensive way to play a game of don't look at the bad word.
It's a necessary evolution because the scale of the problem is expanding. CyberWire Daily noted that agentic AI transforms the least privileged challenge from a human management issue into a massive-scale data exposure risk, because these agents can autonomously process millions of files, effectively learning secrets far beyond the scope of any human user.
I love the idea that we're essentially training our own digital spies, one automated workflow at a time.
And it's getting even more subtle. There's a technique called HALU squatting that security now highlighted. It exploits a predictable failure where LLMs hallucinate repository locations, with error rates as high as 92.4% for new 2025 resources, allowing attackers to pre-register those hallucinated domains to deploy malware. They are literally camping on the mistakes the AI hasn't even made yet.
It's like finding a typo in a contract and immediately registering the trademark for the corrected version.
Stepping back, it's not just about finding new domains, it's about corrupting the AI's existing memory. The MemGhost framework, according to cybersecurity headlines, can achieve an 87% success rate on models like GPT-5.4 by using a single-shot email attack to poison an agent's trusted history with false facts. Once that trusted baseline is compromised, the agent's entire reasoning chain is broken.
We're moving into an era where we can't even trust a digital forensic investigator to tell us what happened, because the very outputs they use to investigate are non-deterministic and impossible to reconstruct.
That's the fundamental breakdown. Enterprise Security Weekly argued that unlike deterministic database queries, LLM outputs can't be reconstructed with 100% accuracy using the same inputs. This creates a black box for incident response. Even at Hugging Face, investigators had to bypass the safety guardrails of commercial models just to effectively reconstruct what the autonomous breach actually looked like.
It's a bit of a nightmare loop. The attack is too fast to see, the investigation is too blurry to understand, and the tools we use to fix it are the very things being manipulated.
There is a strategic shift happening, though. We're seeing a move toward agentic identity management. Companies like 1Password are integrating with Claude to allow for secure, per-session authorization, effectively giving an AI agent a passport that only works for one specific task. We're also seeing a rise in specialized roles like AI AppSec engineers to manage these agentic pipelines.
I suppose if you can't stop the agents, you might as well start giving them much tighter leashes.
That's the goal. We're seeing everything from Microsoft's MDASH architecture, which uses a multi-model debate to validate vulnerabilities before they even ship, to the UK's CyberShield initiative, which aims to transition national defense to an autonomous machine-speed protocol.
Security architects need to prioritize the data layer over the access layer.
If the next major breach involves a self-replicating autonomous payload that exploits a hallucinated repository, the traditional exploitability index won't even be relevant.
But that level of automated warfare is only one piece of a much larger, more geopolitical puzzle. It is officially the era of the unwitting accomplice, where a single click on a fake CAPTCHA can turn a high-ranking military officer into a personal malware installer, a fake security prompt can accidentally leak the entire diplomatic roadmap of a nation, and a simple smart camera in a Dutch driveway can become a high-definition targeting tool for Russian artillery.
We are seeing a massive shift in the mechanics of state-sponsored espionage, moving away from silent data exfiltration toward active, high-interaction social engineering.
So we're moving past the era of oops, I clicked a bad link and into the era of the website actually tricked me into running code using a security check.
The implication runs deeper. According to the record from Recorded Future News, the Russian-linked Sandrum Group is now deploying a clickfix technique. They compromise a legitimate website and then present a fake CAPTCA prompt. When the user interacts with it, they are actually prompted to manually execute PowerShell commands. This bypasses traditional file-based detection, because the victim is effectively the one performing the installation of the Ghetto Vibe malware.
It's brilliant in a terrifying way. It leverages the one thing we've been trained to trust, the little I am not a robot box.
And they are scaling that psychological manipulation by targeting the human element through even more direct channels. Sandworm is using the Signal messaging app to build weeks of rapport with military personnel, even offering cash incentives to run malicious files. They are essentially treating human targets as paid, albeit unwitting, proxies for network intrusion.
Great, so the frontline is now being compromised via WhatsApp-style DM and a small PayPal transfer.
It gets deeper because the exploitation is moving into the physical environment. The record from Recorded Future News reports that Russian intelligence is exploiting vulnerabilities in IoT and IP cameras across the Netherlands, Ukraine, and other NATO territories. They aren't just stealing footage, they are using automated image recognition software to scan for specific military vehicles and weapons shipments. This has created a closed-loop kinetic targeting system, where hacked camera feeds provide real-time battlefield intelligence for locating Ukrainian equipment.
Your backyard security camera is now a reconnaissance drone for the GRU.
So here's the picture, this persistent reconnaissance isn't limited to active war zones. We saw a similar long-term compromise at the Korea National Diplomatic Academy. Hackers exploited a zero-day vulnerability and misconfigured security settings to maintain access for 9 months, from April 2025 until February 2026. The breach is a high-value intelligence risk because the compromised user base includes senior government officials, providing attackers with a roadmap of personnel transitions and overseas postings.
It sounds like the perimeter is effectively gone if the attacker can just wait for a misconfigured setting or a lazy password.
The perimeter is being redefined by legislation, too. In North America, there's a growing tension regarding surveillance. The Canadian Lawful Access Act, which has passed the House of Commons, could require providers like Apple and Google to store user metadata for a year and potentially mandate backdoors. As the record from Recorded Future News highlights, this creates a statutory vacuum in U.S. law, because current American statutes do not explicitly forbid U.S. companies from secretly assisting foreign governments in the surveillance of American citizens or officials.
A Canadian law could essentially force an American tech firm to build a backdoor into their own infrastructure, and there's no legal mechanism in the U.S. to stop them from complying.
That is the exact fear. Senator Ron Wyden has argued this threatens U.S. national security by allowing Canadian authorities to surveil American citizens through U.S. tech infrastructure. It's a strategic vulnerability where the engineering requirements of one nation become a weaponized entry point for another.
We are essentially watching the infrastructure of the internet being turned into a series of legal and technical trapdoors.
And the supply side is just as compromised, with the recent U.S. indictment of operators of the Media Land and ML Cloud Bulletproof hosting services.
These and
Petersburg-based services provide the technical backbone for ransomware groups like Lockbit and Blacksuit, facilitating the very fraud and money laundering that target American institutions.
U.S. negotiators need to use the Cloud Act to establish ironclad prohibitions against these foreign engineering mandates. Keep an eye on any new metadata retention requirements appearing in allied privacy legislation, as that will be the first sign of this statutory vacuum being exploited. But as these state actors master the art of the digital backdoor, a much more visible threat is emerging in the physical components of our most vital networks. I went to the grocery store this morning and realized I actually had to, you know, look at the physical produce instead of just trusting the digital dashboard of my delivery app. It's a tiny bit unsettling how much of our basic survival depends on code we've never even seen.
That's because the supply chain isn't just trucks and warehouses anymore. It's a massive, interconnected web of software dependencies. When a single node fails, the kinetic impact is immediate.
It feels like we're moving from data breaches to physical shortages in real sprint.
Look at what happened to the Fairlife Dairy Unit just last week. A ransomware attack detected on July 14th forced production halts across Michigan, New York, and Arizona. This wasn't just about stolen emails, it triggered a direct halt in manufacturing.
And it's not just milk. It's like a digital version of a multi-car pileup on a highway. One dented bumper shuts down three lanes of traffic.
That's precisely the pattern. Recorded Future News reported that the disruption at Nicorae Logistics Group in Japan is a textbook case. By targeting 140 refrigerated distribution centers, the attackers didn't just steal data. They disrupted the supply chain for 5,000 customers, hitting everything from KFC Japan to Aeon supermarkets.
The attack is actually the defensive response.
That's the most insidious part. Recorded Future News noted that modern food security is increasingly vulnerable to containment-driven outages. This is where the defensive decision to disconnect systems to protect data, essentially pulling the plug, inadvertently triggers more severe physical supply chain failures than the initial breach itself.
That sounds like a security professional's version of burning the house down to kill a spider.
It's becoming a standard tactic. We're seeing a shift toward targeting the software supply chain as a high-leverage tactic. Take Craneware, the UK-based provider. A breach there gave attackers indirect access to the data environments of over 2,000 US hospitals and 10,000 clinics. They don't need to hack the hospital, they just need to hack the vendor that handles the billing and analytics.
It's the Trojan horse strategy, but the horse is a routine software update.
And it's even deeper than healthcare. Look at the Kudankulam nuclear power plant in India. While the core reactor controls are isolated, a massive leak of 14.3 GB of files occurred via a third-party contractor, Reliance Infrastructure, using YADA-hosted infrastructure. As the record from Recorded Future News pointed out, this highlights a critical blind spot where breaching non-nuclear balance of plant systems exposes sensitive engineering and supply chain intelligence.
The perimeter is much wider than anyone wants to admit.
Much wider. Even the UK's Transport for London faced a massive recovery cost of £29 million after a hack by the Scattered Spider Group. While the direct cost was manageable, the projected economic impact if the network had stayed down was a staggering £56 billion.
It's the gap between the repair bill and the total economic paralysis that's terrifying.
The vulnerability isn't just in the data, it's in the downstream dependencies, from Kentucky logistics firms affecting KFC to Japanese bento chains like Hato Mato.
Infrastructure auditors need to start treating every third-party vendor as a potential point of physical failure. Keep an eye on whether we see a surge in defensive shutdowns in the logistics sector, because that's when the digital breach officially becomes a grocery store shortage. But if the systems we rely on are this fragile, what happens when the very devices meant to monitor our safety start spying on us? We used to think of the surveillance state as a guy in a trench coat lurking in a dark alley. Now it's a $3 million high-resolution upgrade installed in a university quad.
It's much more efficient than a trench coat, Maya. At MIT, the deployment of Hanwha's WiSNIT AI cameras is essentially transforming campus infrastructure into a biometric classification engine. It doesn't even need facial recognition to track you. It uses metadata like clothing color, gender, and age at distances up to 35 feet.
I'm not a student anymore. I'm just a walking collection of color-coded pixels.
And Schneier on security notes that this isn't just passive recording. Through the AI Argus software, the system is designed for active behavioral policing, detecting loitering or camera tampering to trigger automated responses. Even the 30-day data retention policy has an exception clause that allows for the retroactive reconstruction of your movements if you're flagged by a crowd detection algorithm.
Lovely. So if the AI decides my loitering looks suspicious, my entire month of movements becomes a searchable archive. But it's not just campuses, right? The streets are getting just as smart.
They are, but the intelligence is proving incredibly glitchy. Look at the lab. They just suspended their contract with Flock Safety following an audit that found 161 car owners were investigated because the technology incorrectly flagged their vehicles as stolen.
161 people went from driving to work to suspect because of a software hiccup.
It's a systemic vulnerability. As Schneier on security points out, law enforcement's demand for high sensitivity creates a cascading false positive effect. By requesting alerts on even partial plate strings, departments have incentivized an operational model where the system just says yes to any partial match, shifting the entire burden of verification onto human officers.
Which is a great way to ensure every Jaguar in town becomes a person of interest if someone typos a single digit.
Something to flag here, it's moving beyond plates. Data from 404 Media reveals police are now using the network for person-based searches, using physical descriptions like clothing, or even whether someone is using a skateboard to track individuals.
So the IoT is less about convenience and more about turning every sensor into a digital dragnet.
The legal fallout is already happening. Major cities like Seattle, Austin, and Cambridge have already terminated their Flock contracts, moving the fight from accuracy concerns to a fundamental dispute over data sovereignty and whether that data will be used for immigration or reproductive health investigations.
Local procurement officers need to start auditing data sharing clauses as rigorously as they audit the hardware itself. Watch for the next municipal audit that targets data ownership rather than just false positives. As we wrap up this edition, the common thread through today's updates is the total disintegration of the perimeter. We are no longer dealing with discrete breaches or seasonal spikes in activity. Instead, we are witnessing a permanent state of high-frequency volatility. Whether it is the massive 300% surge in vulnerabilities since June or the sheer volume of 622 Microsoft fixes, the sheer velocity of change is making the very concept of a secure baseline impossible to maintain.
That's right, Maya. The fundamental implication here is a fundamental shift in the burden of responsibility for CISOs and infrastructure architects. The calculus has moved from managing risk to managing momentum. It is no longer enough to architect for resilience against known threats. Decision makers must now architect for an environment where the very tools used to defend the network, like defensive prompting or automated patching, can just as easily introduce systemic instability or catastrophic regressions. When a single software dependency can trigger a multi-billion pound economic disruption, the role of the security leader becomes less about protecting the castle and more about managing the kinetic energy of a system that is constantly trying to break itself.
It's a landscape where the distinction between a software bug and a physical supply chain failure is becoming increasingly blurred.
There's a signal here, so as you head into the week, keep a very close eye on the stability of the next major enterprise-wide deployment cycle. If we see a widespread system regression triggered by a routine security patch, it will confirm that we have officially crossed the threshold from manageable complexity into a state of uncontrollable, automated, cascading failure.
Thanks for joining us for this Cybersecurity Weekly Digest. We'll see you next Tuesday.